Good morning and welcome to the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right, we had a packed weekend. Our assignment on Friday was What I Really Know About Me, Record and Listen. On Saturday, What Would Make Your Life Perfect, Record and Listen. And on Sunday, What Do You Choose Instead? Record and listen. So shall we hear from our first caller, Sherry?
Yes, please.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Michael in California.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Michael.
How's it going?
Good, you?
Great. I was looking
Sun
at the
time.
And... Yes, it is. After several days of rain, it's nice.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the assignment from Friday, What I Know About Me, and what I see is that, contrary to what the voices say, I'm fine. I'm a good guy. I do my best. I'm practicing. I show up. Lots of people love me. And I have a great life.
Contrary to what the voices
yes.
would like you to believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's so great because it seems that that's what we're doing in practice all the time is reminding ourselves of what's actually so, getting, you know, true, honest, direct information without the big spins.
Yeah. And that point that is so hard for us to get to because the conditioning is so deep that, as you said, lots of people love you. The only place
yes.
you get negative information is inside your head.
Yes.
And yet we are so programmed to believe, because we hear that so much, it outweighs
yes.
the obvious evidence in real life that is contrary to that.
Yes. And I remember you talking in group once about, you know, when I'm told that lie, maybe the first time I don't believe it, but, you know, if when it's repeated 1,000 times and 5,000
yeah.
times, you know,
yeah.
it's just the repetition. And so
yeah.
I need to counter that repetition with, you know, recording and then listening.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's compounded, isn't it? With if
yes.
when you hit age 40, people, you started hearing inside your head what you've been hearing all your life. You would go see somebody, first of all, and say, you know, there's something happening with me that is not okay, right?
Yes.
But we've been listening to this. It's been compounding since before we can remember.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's a lot what we're going up against. And then to have that realization that it's not true, it's not real, and it's not personal. Okay, now we have a situation to alter. It's not exactly
yeah.
that we have a problem, but we have this thing, you know, the roof has come off of the house. We actually
yeah.
do need a roof. So we want to hop on. Roof in the house.
Yeah, and the beautiful thing, the last thing I want to say is that we have all of these roofers. We have an incredible roofing team with tons of experience, and they
yep.
call in every day, and they go on retreat, and they're enthusiastic and passionate. And with that, you know, anything's possible.
Yes. Yes, it is. And we can enjoy the process.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye.
Thanks, Michael. You know, Sherry, the thing that was dropping in for me in that conversation is not only is the voice persistent and able to convince you of what is so by sheer persistence.
Force. Right.
Yes, repetition.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way in which we don't believe the alternative because I think it's something that you phrased in a certain way. If I have a thought that is, unkind, let's just say. It's not even my thought, but there's a thought that's unkind. And so mm-hmm. when I turn to this is a good person or this is a loving person, there's a way in which what receives it compares the fact that you're not 100% good, so you can't believe it because you entertained a thought that was unkind. And that is another bamboozle we fall for, which is also reinforced by repetition, which is comparison to what you've been thinking about yourself.
Mm-hmm. You know, you said something really important there that kind of could slip by unnoticed if we're not careful. And that is, it's framed, I had an unkind thought. And so it seems like there's some part of me in that.
Yes.
But the way you said it made clear that basically that unkind thought just appeared in my head. I didn't invite it. I didn't perpetuate it. I didn't believe it even. It was just mm-hmm. there. And so then that's held against me as if it's somehow mm-hmm. volitional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and to catch on to, we cannot reference the thinking process to be in touch with what we are, because in the thinking process there are unkind thoughts and kind thoughts and all kinds of thoughts that don't actually define the intrinsic purity that we are. And that if we have to reference the intrinsic purity for an acknowledgement of what we are, not the conditioned process that can always create the duality between kindness and unkindness or anything else that we happen to have going on in our heads.
Yeah, yeah. So if I were to say to you, Ashwini, would you rather, let's choose a thought now. Do you want to choose an unkind thought or a kind thought?
Mm-hmm.
And you would say, well, I want to choose a kind thought.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you would, because that's who you are.
Right. Exactly so. But if you were asked me if I was a kind person or an unkind person, I would never be able, at some place that really deep down, that I'm a kind person would not arise because I've had unkind thoughts, and what I'm referencing not the process that you just called forth in the other way the question was framed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Depends on who you ask, doesn't it?
Depends on who you ask. All right, here's our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Risa in Switzerland.
Well, goodness gracious, welcome.
Thanks. Yeah, what a surprise to be on the call. I've been looking during the exercises this weekend at how tricky conditioning is, because I've been finding that it's mimicking voices of awareness. So it seems like I'm being aware, but actually it's just telling me, it's just like making me feel bad about stuff.
Yes. Yes. However, the good news about what you are is that you are aware of that process.
Yes.
Right? So, yeah. So for a long time, I bet, you just fell for it. You just, as Ashwini was just pointing out, you know, we just believe what we're told inside our head because we don't know any different. And then we catch on that, wait, there's stuff going on inside my head. And having a relationship with that, depending upon what kind of relationship it is, that's gonna determine what kind of a life I have. As the Buddha pointed out, you know, it's what we think about all day that frames the world that we live in. So, okay, all right, so now I want to look at that. So that system just goes, oh, she wants to look at that. Okay. And now it starts, it takes over being aware. and it talks to you about what you're seeing and about awareness and that sort of thing, right? And you fall for it because, once again, it seems like it's you, right?
Yeah.
And now you've hit a stage where you've stepped back enough that you see that process too and realize, oh, that's the same thing. That's not me either.
Yeah, exactly. And so,
pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's super exciting, and it like sort of lands with me like right back at the beginning, in that the point is that you have to be present, like.
Yes.
So that
yes.
Each time it's really about being present. That moves, gives me the clue if it's really conditioned, if it's like really intuition or like my true self, or is it like this ego impersonating
yes
something new?
Yes. Well, you know, if we take another tradition like Christianity, that's very, it's very big, and it gets really clear that that the devil, in quotes, impersonates God. Speaks as if it's the voice of God, and people believe it's the voice of God, right? Because it sounds like what people are conditioned to believe the voice of God would sound like. Like saying what's wrong with you and everybody else. So that same process, we have a different way of talking about it and looking at it, but it really is the same process, that illusion of being separate from life will use anything to get attention, to get you to believe that it's real and to give your life force to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, just a little word to the wise, okay? One of the things that we can fall for at this juncture is trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, is that conditioning or is that center? That process is the same, is the next iteration of that same process you've been working with. Because you're looking, it'll get you to look to conditioned mind to figure out whether this is center or this is ego.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And the fact of the matter is, we can't know. Because it would take somebody separate in order to know that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that made sense, but you'd have to be stepped back out of life to be able to see, oh, well, that's conditioning and that's life. But you're in life.
Right.
So the good news about it is that you can relax into exactly what's been happening. You go along practicing to the best of your ability, being present, and insight comes to you.
Mm-hmm.
Clarity just drops in the way that it has been doing right along. And it'll happen in the same way. So you'll get bamboozled. We do. It's how it works. You'll get fooled into something, and then one day you'll go, oh, I see. Okay. And you have just uncovered another layer. It's like, veils covering the eyes or that sort of thing. Your dark glasses just got a little lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So not to worry about it. Just go along having a good time, enjoying your life, paying close attention, because the enjoying it is a huge part of speeding up the clarity.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah. What time is it where you are?
Well, that's a complicated question because it's usually 6 o'clock, but for the last week and a half, the U.S. changed time zone before Europe. So right now it's 5 o'clock until this weekend, at which point it will return to a 6-hour time difference from the East Coast, which is 9-hour time difference from the West Coast.
It's a good thing we don't concern ourselves with things like time and space, isn't it? Because if we did, our lives would be much more complicated. Well, yes. Whatever time it is, I'm glad you joined us. It's very, very fun to think of you so very far away from us and yet so connected.
Ah, thank you. The same for me.
All right. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Bye. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Thanks, bye. Lisa. So fun to hear from Sangha Everywhere.
Sangha Everywhere.
Yeah, and I love that encouragement not to try to figure it out, that there is a process of insight that is so very different than trying to work out whether what's operating is awareness or conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, to enjoy life, if that's what we work at, which we could say is synonymous with being present, right? So to enjoy life, it positions us so well to see when we're not enjoying life, which is a clue to us that we're not present.
Yes, and then the movement is to presence, from which the insight will arrive.
Yes, exactly. Just simply seeing, wait a minute, I'm not having a good time. I'll realize, oh, well, I'm caught in something in my head that's taken the good time away. Well, I'm already here, right, in order to have seen that. And now I can look around and enjoy this and recommit to being here.
Yeah, exactly so. The key is enjoyment. Shall we hear from another caller, Sherry? Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, hi, Zata here.
Well, hello there.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi.
Now instead of going in one direction, we're going in a completely different part of the world. This is very exciting.
Exactly, Sangha Everywhere, exactly. I wanted to tell you about how the time here doesn't change and all this, but it's off topic, but it's super interesting. And I wanted to tell you something fantastic about the exercise.
Please.
So, when there was the question, what do you need to make your life perfect, or however that was phrased, and there was like an answer coming from my belly, from the bottom of my heart, and it was like, it is perfect, you know? And so I just wrote it in giant letters in the space where we had to draw, like, it is perfect, you know? And then when I was it's beautiful, right? And then when I was recording about it, I could hear all the way that I am conditioned, like most people, to fear the God's envy, you know? So not to say something like that, because then, you know, like a thunderbolt will hit me from the sky. But it is perfect. This is true, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. That's so interesting, the way you phrased that. When I was growing up, it was called tempting the devil. But you called
exactly,
it the God
exactly.
instinct. Yeah, yeah. So
exactly,
that kind
exactly.
of feeling of, you know, hey, you know, my life isn't that great. Don't give me anything worse. Okay, I'm
exactly.
just barely hanging on. Instead of stepping out there and saying, my life is glorious. It's incredible. I love it. I don't want to miss a second of it. Oh, and by the way, the point is, thank you.
Yes, Yes, oh, fantastic, the thank you. So the moment when this kind of fear comes creeping in, it's like, and by the way, thank you. So that sorts it out, fantastic.
Yeah, Yeah, so I was looking at it this morning, and so what we're learning to do, what we're practicing, is having an orientation or an attitude or a perceiving as appreciation of gratitude, right? So the way I view life is, we could say, through a lens of, or through the eyes of, appreciation. And when we do that, which is what you're describing, then we realize the perfection of every moment. When we don't realize the perfection of every moment, it's because we're looking at it through the eyes of imperfection.
Yes. Yes.
Is that,
you know, yeah, when I was listening, there was the, when you were talking, there was like, and I was like kind of reflecting what you were saying in my mind to make sure I was getting it. And the moment I was hearing the sentence in my mind, wow, so I am looking at life through the eye, through the lenses of perfection, it sounded very, very egocentric, I don't know. And so I was thinking, no, I'm just letting life look at life or something like that.
Yes.
Or,
yes.
I don't know.
Yes. No, you do know. Well, I don't know if you know, but that's it. It's aligning with life so that life is seeing life.
Exactly. How beautiful.
That's when we see the perfection of life. When we look through ego, that's when we see something wrong, not enough. It's not okay. I'm not okay. There's something, because we're looking through the eyes of ego. So it's another one of those ways of seeing what's going on with me, not figuring it out, but just falling kind of, or stepping into that realization that this feels off. So what's going on with me? And in that moment, I'm back.
Oh, yes. Oh, it's so beautiful. Oh, we are so lucky to be able to talk about these things, aren't we?
We so are. Yes. And to have the reminder, and as Michael was saying about the roofing, you know, to have all of the tools, to have the support of one another, and so that we have the reminders, and we get to really have our perfect lives.
Exactly. And when there is this feeling that something feels off and we can't figure it out ourselves, we have all this way to connect and have help. Oh, it's so fantastic.
Right.
Yeah. I'll let you talk to the other roofer.
Okay.
Roofer, the people. Thank you so much.
Good. Thank you, Isota.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thanks, Isota. You know, that phrase, inviting the God's envy, itself is such an ego way of saying it, because only the ego would think that God is separate, right, Sherry? I mean, that's what you're pointing at.
Yeah.
The lens through which we see the world really defines our experience.
Yeah.
Of the intelligence that animates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have time for one more caller at least, so here we go.
All right.
Caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Barbara from Southern California.
Well, hello.
Hi, Barbara.
Wow, this is really a surprise. I've been calling, and I had no idea I would get on today. It's great. So I was doing the exercises over the weekend as sort of companion pieces. And it was really fascinating to me to see, because when I first asked myself the question, you know, what would make your life perfect, the first thing I heard in my head was, this is a trick question. And
oh,
I thought,
my.
Oh, who's saying that, you know? Huh. Is that ego saying that? And I thought, well, okay, I'll just run with that and see what happens. You know, I started recording and talking about it. And what I came down to was pretty much what the last caller was saying, that my life is perfect. And the trick part of the question is sort of in that conditional verb, would, what would make your life perfect, which implies mm-hmm. that it's not perfect now, right? Mm-hmm. So this was like an invitation for ego to sit down and start making its little list, you know. Oh, well, if you just mm-hmm. have more money, if you just were thinner, if you just, you know, all that stuff. But, mm-hmm. And once I saw that list, I thought, oh, those are just things ego cares about. You know, I don't really, uh-huh. you know, I don't really care about that stuff. And, you know, then a little bit further kind of Socratic questioning, I guess, was like, well, if you did have that, if you had one, how would your life be better? How would you be more perfect? Well, I wouldn't be, you know, I would still be as happy as I am or as unhappy as I am. And uh-huh. so then I started realizing that, you know, life doesn't care about that stuff. You know, everything really is going on the way it should be. And the second part of the question, you know, how do you keep yourself?
If I may, right there, mm-hmm. the part that you caught on to is that you, I, everything and everyone, you are a manifestation of life.
Right.
So it's not, you know, the idea that could be a mistake is as ludicrous as thinking all trees that aren't pine trees are mistakes.
Uh-huh.
All flowers, roses are mistakes.
Uh-huh.
You know, all birds that aren't swans are mistakes.
Right.
Yeah. And we're just, it takes us so long to really get that. No, you are a perfect you. The only one that is ever or will ever exist. Talk about unique manifestation, right? And we are trained to miss that because, well, you could be thinner. Well, you could have more money.
Right.
You know, you could be taller, and that would probably, no.
Yeah.
It's just all a con, isn't it, to keep us from seeing, no, it's all really perfect.
Right. And what happens for me is, of course, as you well know, getting it out onto a recording and listening to it is what makes that sound so ridiculous that you can just laugh at it and go, really? You know, I really believe that for how many years? Because it just it sounds so silly when you actually hear it. But when it's just rolling around inside your mind, then you believe it. And
Thank you for that. Thank you for that commercial, Barbara.
Thank you.
because that's exactly it. It makes perfect sense. If I were 5 pounds thinner, my life would be much happier. That makes absolute sense inside my head. And I hear it on a recording, and it is just so silly I can hardly.
It's nonsense, right?
Yeah, it's just nonsense.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah.
All
so,
right. Well,
thank you for this class. I'm really getting so much
you.
Every day. It's just wonderful.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah. It's fun to be together, isn't it?
It really
because
is.
Because as Isota said, and I think it has as a regular experience, what a gift to have people to talk about this stuff with.
No kidding.
Because there are not a lot of folks that you could say, well, you know, I have this stuff rattling around in my head that makes me really unhappy, but when I record it and I listen back to it, it sounds really silly, and they've drifted off to do whatever it is that is not that. Yeah.
Right. And I'm so grateful, if I can just say one more thing, that I finally, after years and years of practicing with you folks sort of anonymously, and you know, I think of myself as like a practice lurker, you know, which is sort of unfortunate. But
Yeah, I mean, I
don't
go back
think
to
of yourself
days.
That way anymore, okay?
I don't, because I finally managed to say to conditioning, you know, shut up, sit down, I'm going to call in and I'm going to talk. It was just, it was making me afraid of this for so long, and I was listening for so long. So, you know, I kind of want to encourage anybody else who's out there to, if you're hearing the same thing about, no, you can't call in, it's too frightening, you'll die, which is what I was hearing. You know, don't believe it, just go ahead and call in.
Yeah, you don't have to lose those 5 pounds. You actually having more money won't make you happier, and you can call.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Barbara.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Barbara. Oh, it's so exciting to get to know all of our Sangha. You know, Sherry, it's just wonderful. We had over 100 callers on the show today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of folks. I mean, that's not everybody who could be on, and the numbers vary from day to day, certainly, but that's a lot of folks to be doing this together.
Yeah.
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 That's wonderful.
All right. That brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. And so our assignment for today is very fun. It says, write a horoscope for yourself for the coming year. Record and listen.
Uh-huh. For the coming year. All right. Very good.
All right.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. Talk to you tomorrow. Go happy, everyone.
All right. Go happy. Bye.